And this is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for Friday, the 26th of September, 2014. Hello and a very warm welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. We're very pleased to bring you extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 26th of September 2014, which this week have been edited by Bill Argles and Jean Gardner. And your readers today are Nikki Baring.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
And Albie Minns.
Hello.
And I am your presenter, Roy Faithful. We've got three front page headline stories this week, and they are University set to run new academy school, time to get on with Silver Hill, says leader, and freshers with furthest to travel out of pocket. So may we have the story behind the first headline, please, Nikki.
Which is University set to run new academy school. Three-form Barton Farm School will have more than 600 pupils. Winchester's first new primary school in decades is set to open in 2 years' time. The University of Winchester has won approval from the Department of Education to establish an academy to open in September 2016 at the new 2000 home estate at Barton Farm. It will help to ease pressure on several local schools such as Wick, St Bede, Hairstock, South Wanston and Kingsworthy that have been close to capacity for several years. Professor Joy Carter, Vice-Chancellor at the University, said, "Our ambition is to create an academy which will be both a cornerstone of the local community and a recognised beacon of excellence in education." She added, "It is our firm belief that these children will progress into secondary education and beyond with a strong sense of self and the confidence to engage with the wider world. We look forward to working in partnership with local residents in the coming years to bring our distinctive values-driven educational ethos to primary education in Winchester." The DOE decision ended hopes that the new school would be a free school, state-funded, but free to run its own curriculum. The academy will be state-funded, but outside the control of the county council and can set its own admissions policy. Steve Brine, MP for Winchester and Chandler's Ford, who supported the free school idea, will serve as a trustee on the University of Winchester Academy Trust. He said, "I am, to be honest, just pleased this is more top-quality primary provision coming online for my constituents than I am concerned about it being part of some government flagship scheme. I'm delighted it's the university sponsoring it because they are a proven educational provider. My original explorations around setting up a new free school in Winchester had the university involved because I always wanted them to head this up. The County Council has planned for the school to have up to 630 pupils with a three-form entry. The new school is likely to initially have mixed-age classes as the number of pupils grows with the expansion of the Barton Farm estate." The news comes as several local schools, including St Peter's, Winnell and St Bede, have seen the benefit of a multi-million pound building programme since 2012. A new two-form primary school opened to reception pupils this month at the Westgate School in Full Flood. Dominic Hiscock, Chairman of Governors at St Bede in Hyde, said, "If the new school at Barton Farm is particularly good, it may attract children from other schools. But that is good. More schools will be providing a service that parents want. Competition means schools have to maintain standards."
Can we have the second front page headline story, please, Richard?
Indeed. "Time to get on with Silver Hill," says leader. Winchester Civic Chief Rob Humby has defended his stance on the Silver Hill development. Councillor Humby has disputed claims that the £150 million scheme will wreck the High Street by sucking footfall from the current main thoroughfare. Some 40 members of the Business Improvement District, known as BID, broke ranks to write to Councillor Humby, voicing their fears. In response, Councillor Humby said, "I know we all agree the Silver Hill area needs to be regenerated. Winchester has been debating just how for 15 years and more, and I believe it's about time we got on with it before the city is left behind." He said Silver Hill will offer 50% more retail floor space than is currently on the site, an increase of around 8% in the total city centre retail space, and is hardly swamping the current shops. Councillor Humby also pointed out that there is demand for more shops, which will otherwise be met by shops out of town in places like Winnall and Bar End. I cannot agree that the scheme harms the character of the city, he said. Our historic cathedral, high street and quirky side streets remain. Silver Hill will immeasurably improve a dilapidated part of town with high-quality, well-designed buildings and public spaces using top-quality materials and sympathetic modern design rather than pastiche. Meanwhile, Green Campaign Group WIN ACC has objected to the revised scheme which Henderson has submitted. Social housing and the bus station have been removed. WIN ACC is unhappy about the reduction in dwellings from 287 to 177, but the number of dedicated parking spaces has increased from 122 to 180 over and above the 279 public and staff spaces. The parking will encourage more cars into the congested centre, say WIN ACC. The lack of a bus station will create two different waiting areas. It will confuse passengers and impede travel across Winchester, said WIN ACC. Original plans to open up by Abbey Mills Stream with a footpath and garden have been dropped in favour of a blank wall enclosing car parking. Support for the scheme has come from Chris Turner, Chief Executive of the BID, and Stephen Gates, Chairman of the Winchester Area Committee of Hampshire Chamber of Commerce. But whilst backing the redevelopment in general, Mr. Gates said he was disappointed that a new bus station, affordable housing, new medical centre, youth club and offices have been dropped. Mr. Gates said, "It is, however, disappointing that more details have not been shared about the economic reasons for this change to allow businesses and residents the transparency to evaluate the appropriateness of these decisions. It would also be reassuring to know the off-site financial contribution towards affordable housing in the district will be ring-fenced for this purpose and earmarked for early provision, bearing in mind the urgent need for affordable housing detailed in the local plan." A team from Henderson's and Architects Allies and Morrison will update BID members on October the 14th.
And can we have the third headline story, please, Albie?
Freshers with furthest to travel out of pocket. Winchester University chiefs have told students who are housed more than 13 miles from the city that they will not cover their four-figure travel costs, despite promising to reimburse all freshers placed off campus. The university told 50 students who were allocated rooms in Southampton's Liberty Point that they will only receive food vouchers and book tokens as a gesture of goodwill, despite having to pay over £1,000 to commute to lectures. Last week, the Hampshire Chronicle revealed that more than 100 Winchester students were saddled with round trips of up to 40 miles from Eastleigh, Basingstoke and Southampton after the university accepted a record number of students without enough rooms to put them in. In an email dated September the 3rd, the university told students that reasonable public transport travel costs will be reimbursed to any student placed off campus. The university has arranged a bus service to shuttle 45 students from Basingstoke's Premier Inn West and the Holiday Inn, Winchester, while 18 freshers living in Eastleigh's Premier Inn will have travel costs covered until they are rehoused. They will also subsidise rent for all freshers in hotels. But this offer has not been extended to students placed in Liberty Point, Southampton. Despite the cost of an annual rail ticket adding £1,092 to their £5,207 rent. One angry parent has called for an independent inquiry into the crisis after his son was denied a hotel room 6 days after it was offered. He was told to move to Liberty Point or drop to the bottom of the housing waiting list, believed to have been around 200 at the time. The father, who asked not to be named, said, I think there should be pressure put on the Board of Governors to look into how this was allowed to happen. Who made the decision that it was a good idea how many students they were going to take in? Why are Winchester students being shipped out to some dump in Southampton? It's just incompetence. Naomi Carter, president of Winchester Student Union, met Deputy Vice-Chancellor Neil Marriott on Monday to discuss supporting students in Southampton. It needs to extend to as many students as possible, she said. We're liaising with the university, not against them, to get this solved. The university offered a £100 campus food voucher to students placed in Southampton before upping the offer to £550 food credit and a £50 book token. A university spokesman said those suffering genuine financial hardship will have to apply to the university's General Student Support Fund. The university, which unaffected students this week voted one of Britain's top modern institutions for satisfaction, promised other freshers £200 a week if they gave up their hotel rooms and commuted from home.
And that concludes the front page headline stories. Now we continue with death notices, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, your say, historical items, first person, chronicle comment, and Belgarum diary. I'll start with the death notices. But, Norma Grace Butt of Fisher's Pond, aged 90. Davis, George Whitfield Davis, aged 90, at his home in Winchester. Long, Brigadier Robert George Long, late Colonel of the Royal Hampshire Regiment, aged 77. Love, Victor Harold Love, peacefully in Winchester Hospital, aged 82. Marvier, Denis Marvier, passed away, aged 75. Matthews, Michael James Matthews, aged 51, after an illness. Phillips, Winifred Kate Phillips, peacefully in Devonish House, aged 89. Sharp, Thomas Ted Sharp, aged 89. Wadman, Captain J.R. Wadman, OBE, from the Royal Navy, otherwise known as Phil or Robin. Wallace, Brian Gerald Wallace, aged 68. Walton, Norma Marguerite, nay Rhoda Walton, aged 76. Wild, Pauline Jane Wild, suddenly at home. And that ends the death notices. It's time for Christian comment, read by Nikki.
Headed, how much do vows and promises matter? Last week, in the closing days of the campaign surrounding the vote for Scottish independence, the three leaders of the main UK parliamentary parties appeared on the front page of a Scottish newspaper under a heading, The Vow. Together, they promised the Scottish people that if they voted no, then they would ensure that yet more powers would devolve to the Scottish Parliament. Within a few days, accusations of broken promises filled the airwaves. This left me wondering if there was a difference in the meaning of such words as vow, promise, pledge, and indeed swearing an oath or making a contract or covenant, as they do seem to be bandied around in the press and media as if they all have the same meaning. So I set out to explore their meanings. It would seem that vow is considered by most authorities to be more serious than promise and to be of a higher order. We talk of marriage vows and religious vows when people enter a religious order. The rate of marriage breakup, though, does not suggest that everybody does not regard them in the same way. A pledge is an old-fashioned word for a promise, and possibly a little more binding for some. Oaths were more public promises and usually sworn on a religious book or on something held sacred or dear to the person. In fact, in practice these days, many of these words and what they stand for are used interchangeably. The next question to ask is, do these promises, vows, etc., make any difference? Do we believe the people making them? We will never know whether the vow really did make a difference. It is interesting for me, at least, to ask if promises made by the various religious faiths make a difference to their members, and especially to new recruits. I could ask the question of myself. Am I a Christian because I am promised forgiveness and salvation? The answer might include some reference to this, but is nowhere near the whole answer. Last Sunday was called Back to Church Sunday and has been going since 2004 in this country. It seems that many people go to church because they were invited by friends or family, and yet only 2% of Christians invite people to come with them. This year, the idea has been expanded to a season of invitation to include harvest, remembrance, the beginning of Christmas, and Christmas itself. Jesus said, "Vows and promises don't matter. Our word should be all that is necessary." And that was by Rosemary A. Baker.
And we'll continue with the letters to the editor. If you wish to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by telephoning 01962 860 836. Or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk. Or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, S0238AL. We have 10 letters to the editor this week, starting with one read by Richard.
And it's headed, City's First Poetry Festival, a Triumph. Sir, what a splendid achievement the first ever Winchester Poetry Festival turned out to be. From Friday through to Sunday, the Discovery Centre, its principal venue, was alive with the excited chatter of punters and poets, crowded with bookshops, box office, information desk, book signing, coffee drinking, and on the piazza, more books on sale and fringe poetry, music and performance. What a buzz! The banner outside had boasted 29 performances in 30 hours of activity, and we were offered a rich variety. Poets reading their own works, poetry and translation, storytelling in poetry, close readings of individual poems, etc. And away from base, there was a lively, noisy, we were in central Winchester, and informative library walkabout. A highlight for me was the moving experience of listening to poetry from World War I, read in the beautiful and serene setting of the Winchester College War Memorial Cloister. The organisers had secured some really big names in the poetry world for this festival, and it was good, too, to give the stage to young, newly published poets, as well as to student poets from local colleges. Audiences drawn from all over the UK were engaged and enthralled, and I, for one, was entertained, energised and emotionally challenged. So, well done to everyone involved in pulling this off. You needn't have worried, it was so worth all the effort and sleepless nights. See you in 2 years. And that's from Ira Parry-Jones of Gordon Road, Winchester.
Festival was as good as any I've attended. Sir, I write to congratulate the organisers of the Winchester Poetry Festival. I chair Impress Books Limited, an Arts Council-funded business that supports poetry publishers across the country. The Winchester Festival ranked as well as any I have attended for the high quality of the participants, the engagement of the audiences, and the smoothness with which the many events were put on. I do hope the organisers will take heart from their success and make it into a regular event. Young writers, some of whom at this festival were outstanding, will be particularly well served if they do. Ian Grant, Chairman, Impress Books Limited, Glasmere Road, Upper Holloway, London.
The Winchester question. Sir, is it not time that it should be recognised that we have something of the same kind of problem in Winchester that Scotland has? We have councillors from far-flung places of the so-called Winchester City Council area able to vote on matters which only concern the city itself. Why should councillors from outside the city be able to vote on matters which only concern the city itself? This seems to be particularly pertinent in matters of planning. W.A.C. Halliwell, St. James Villas, Winchester.
A cautionary tale for Winchester. Sir, George Hayter writes about the destruction wrought on Southampton during the Second World War and laments the damage it suffered to its medieval, Georgian and other architectural treasures. Until I became involved in the protest to try to prevent Southampton City Council selling its artworks to pay for a new gallery that would in turn destroy the symmetry of the Grade 2 listed civic centre, We won for the time being on the sale of art, but lost on the new gallery. I too had assumed that the 1960s rebuilding of Southampton was a result of war damage. Of course, the city was badly bombed, but, as with so many other cities, it was the planners who subsequently did the most damage. Large areas of historic built fabric remained, but were destroyed for comprehensive redevelopment. A few elegant terraces remain, Portland, Carlton, but surrounded by poor development and heavy traffic, are run down and unloved. Medieval undercrofts were simply covered with a concrete slab and built over, while the Merchant's House and the Tudor House Museum remain as one-off museum pieces. Handsome central shopping streets are marginalised by vast malls, with more to come. If this sounds like a cautionary tale, it is. Winchester saw off the Abercrombie plan before the proposed destruction was carried out. But the developers are circling in our handsome, historic and desirable city. The planners generally believed they were doing good. We now know they were often misguided. The developers have other aims, and planners seem all too gullible. Anyone who doesn't want Winchester to look like Southampton, or Basingstoke, or Eastleigh, needs to pay careful attention and make sure their councillors know, says Judith Martin of Romsey Road, Winchester.
We can't afford to ignore population. Sir, I thought it was significant that Andy Smale's interesting letter of September the 11th included having smaller families among his suggested ways in which we could reduce our carbon emissions. We are constantly being urged to reduce our carbon footprint, but the need to reduce the number of feet is rarely mentioned. England has overtaken the Netherlands as Europe's most densely populated country, if you exclude Monaco and Malta. But of course, the problem is also a global one. The recent report by the United Nations and the University of Washington has revised previous estimates of the world's population upwards by 2 billion, predicting that there will be 11 billion people sharing the planet by 21,100. Furthermore, it is expected that population growth will continue thereafter, instead of levelling off, as had previously been hoped. We will leave our descendants a dire legacy if we continue to ignore this huge problem. Rosemary Horsey, Ashley, Stockbridge.
And from Catherine Morris, leisure campaign is localism in action. Sir, Winchester is unique in writing its own proposals for sports and leisure facilities and trying to raise funds for them. There is an opportunity to build a facility to inspire sport in our local community, and this should not be missed. People can visit 2012hours.org, that's 2012hours.org, to find out how to build and be part of this legacy. It is localism in action. It is taking our 2012 legacy into our own hands. Catherine Morris, Carmen's Lane, Compton.
Multi-storey car park solution. Sir, it's clear that the updated Silver Hill planning application, as on display in the Guildhall, does not add up from the retail perspective. However, the fix is equally obvious, and it is inevitable that the Middle Brook Street surface car park will become a multi-storey car park. The revised application increases retail space by 40% to over 14,000 square feet, whilst reducing car parking spaces by 100, removing office spaces and social housing. At the same time, we lose the bus station, Chesil Street surface car park, the Broadway parking spaces and Upper Brook Street car park. Andover Road and Gladstone Street are also under threat. The result is an even bigger retail offer, whilst removing local customers from offices and flats and cutting back on car parking. This does not add up. The transport assessment on display did not properly address the issue. It estimated daily footfall averages, whilst every retailer will tell you it's the peak, Saturdays and Christmas, that is really important. There is not the peak capacity to sustain this retail development and the existing high street. We know that at the Christmas peak, Winchester is already grossly overloaded and cannot support any more retail outlets within its existing transport infrastructure. On the face of it, Silver Hill is a threat to all existing businesses. However, the obvious solution is next door. The Middle Brook Street car park could readily be replaced with a multi-storey car park with the extra capacity needed to support this development and replace the loss. The council have signalled that they want Winchester to return to being a major retail centre, and Silver Hill is the start of this. However, they seem to be reluctant to acknowledge what this means in terms of supporting developments and transport infrastructure. It would be better that rather than being presented as a fait accompli after the event, the Middle Brook Street multi-storey was part of the current proposal. And that comes from Tony Wyman of Childhood's Dream, The Brooks, Winchester.
Spray them for their foul deeds. Sir, some time ago I read that the litter pickers and gardeners employed by some local UK councils were supplied with aerosol cans of bright yellow paint. When coming across dog poo, they would spray it. This not only warned walkers, pram pushers, cyclists, picnickers, etc., of the presence of poo, but apparently considerably reduced the problem, presumably by shaming the guilty owners. I've tried this out locally and it works. If it is not illegal, poo spotters among the public could adopt the same strategy. The colour wears off in a few weeks as the poo disintegrates. Frank Fahey, Old Vicarage Lane, King Somborne.
Oh dear, hard to follow that. The ruination of this lovely city, Mrs. Stevens. Sir, who has ever heard of a city without a bus station? The Winchester City Council planners and the developer Henderson need to look at this scheme again and go back to the drawing board. The scheme as it stands will completely ruin the lovely city of Winchester. The lack of social housing is outrageous. Alresford is having to make way for more social housing, and Winchester has more available space for this important issue. Come on, Winchester planners, do not make a big mistake in rushing this through. A bus station is a very important part of this development and needs to be included. Mrs. P.M. Stevens, Witton Hill, Alresford.
And yet another disgruntled Winchester citizen. Plethora of speed limits is confusing. Sir, I hope I'm not alone in being confused by the plethora of variable speed limits now being implemented throughout some parts of Winchester. Whilst I appreciate and fully accept the need for more modest and safer speeds in built-up areas, drivers now need to focus on different types of variable speed signage as well as all the other many potential hazards. Road-painted signage along with signs on poles pop up unexpectedly, and some roads have a mixture of speeds. For example, the traffic can, and does, roar again up the first part of Stanmore Lane now that the bottom speed hump has been removed until the 20-mile-an-hour limit is met under the railway arch, but Christchurch Road still remains a 30-mile-plus rat run. Would it not be preferable to have a standard 20-mile-an-hour limit at all city entry points if 30 miles an hour is not working, so we all drive to a common and consistent rule? I've always supported the KISS principle. Keep it simple. Let's hope we also see some form of speed enforcement activity which seems to have been lacking in recent years. Why not start with St Cross Road, Winchester's answer to the Le Mans Strait? Finally, what might be the cost of implementing all these new signs, and what is the expected consequence of the variable limits? Richard Chisnell, Edward Road, Winchester.
And that's the end of the letters to the editor for this week. Now it's time for your say. We asked passers-by, do you find city centre buskers entertaining or just a noise pollution? Albie has the replies.
From Thomas Sara, 28, contractor of Cromwell Road, Stanmore, who says, they're really annoying. I don't mind the buskers when there's a band on, but that's different. The bad ones drive me mad. Davinia Biffin, 36, full-time mother of Hillrise Twyford, says, "I'm all for it. They make Winchester. My children love them. But just up near Boots, there was a chap that got very aggressive. He chased me into Boots and the police were called." Chris Peck, 65, retired of Devonish Road Week, says, "Life is very depressing and it's nice to have a bit of music. And it's free. I think anyone who objects to that is a bit self-centred. They don't like to see people enjoying themselves." Samantha Pike, 46, paralegal of Bournemouth Road, Chalmersford, says, "Winchester is a tourist town. It's good for business. They're not out pushing you for money. It would change the atmosphere if they were more aggressive. I like them."
Now we go back through the years into our files for our historical items, beginning with 25 years ago, read by Nikki.
September the 29th, 1989. IRA bomb scare in Winchester. Hundreds of soldiers were the potential victims of a hoax IRA death threat passed on to Winchester police by a national newspaper on Friday night. The city was threatened and Winchester was ready for the possible terrorist bomb attack, said police. "There's been no attack in the city yet," said Police Inspector Les Harris. "We were involved with the army in a two-hour search for two threatened bombs." The bomb poser to the police came just before 1 p.m. and threatened the Sir John Moore Barracks and the Light Division's headquarters at Flowerdown. And another note, 11 homeless people have at last found a room of their own in Winchester, thanks to a new housing project called Keystone. Two of the new tenants have since found jobs as a direct result of having a permanent address. The housing project is based temporarily in a terraced home on three floors in Romsey Road. It comprises 9 self-contained bed-sitting rooms with shared bathroom and toilet facilities.
We go back 50 years ago, read by Richard.
Yes, and from September the 26th, 1964, "Pink Pavement has been well received." Bishop's Waltham. "Pink paving stones recently laid in Bishop's Waltham High Street have in general been well received, and this new trend in street fashions may well spread to Wickham. The village parish council have been invited to inspect the Bishop's Waltham pavement and express their opinion on the provision of similar paving in the square, Wickham." As another item, a complete change has been made in the council's previous policy of providing cookers and coppers in their houses. In future, these will not be provided except in the bungalows for elderly persons. This was agreed after members heard that in 1963 the provision of such equipment had cost them £847, and it had been estimated that up to £1,500 was needed for the current year.
Now we go back 100 years.
Yes, two items from September the 26th, 1914. And the first comes under the heading, "Freemason Gesture Saves 50 Men." Ostend, September the 23rd. A remarkable incident testifying alike to the power of Freemasonry and the splendid devotion of a citizen of Louvain has been reported. At the time of the sack of the town, the Germans seized 50 men, whom they bound and told they were going to be shot. The firing party had already raised their rifles to take aim, when one of the 50, a Freemason, made one of the Masonic signs. The German officer in command of the squad was himself a Freemason, and at once ordered the Freemason to leave the ranks. "No," replied the citizen of Louvain, "my fellow citizens are no more guilty than I am." Touched by this act of devotion, the officer ordered the release of the 50 men. And the second item, "Sir, all sections of our public men are now engaged in one vast national crusade to obtain 1 million recruits for Lord Kitchener's new army. Britain is going to place 1 million soldiers on the continent. Already 500,000 good men and true have responded to her call, and 500,000 more are urgently needed. Before the sword can be sheathed with honour, Kaiserism and all it stands for must be completely blotted out. It is for the young manhood of our empire to see to it that the power of the German Kaiser will be so curtailed in future that never again will he or any of his successors be in a position to plunge nearly all Europe into mortal combat.
Finally, back to 200 years ago.
September the 26th, 1814. This morning, at an early hour, the Old Bailey was crowded in an unusual manner to witness the execution of those wretched beings Mitchell and Hollings. Hollings addressed the surrounding spectators in the prison yard in a firm tone of voice and with animation. He admitted the justice of his sentence, lamented his departure from the paths of rectitude and virtue, and expressed his firm reliance on divine mercy. He expressed a hope that all would take warning from the fatal exhibition which was to take place. He repeatedly confessed that he was guilty of the foul crime of murder. Mitchell did not utter a word. On the signal being given, they were launched into eternity. And the second item. A most melancholy accident occurred on Saturday night on the turnpike road between Farringdon and Wantage Barks. Mr. Spicer, a farmer residing at Goosey, had loaded a wagon with cheese for Wantage, and his wife embraced the opportunity of riding on the wagon to that place. They were overtaken by some men with a number of loose colts. These frightened the horses that were drawing the wagon. In endeavouring to stop them, the driver, John Cumbly, was beaten down and expired in a few minutes.
Now, this week's first person is written by Khalid Aziz, and it's read by Richard.
Despite my antecedents, I can claim no credit for the Indian summer that has blessed the better part of September. Of course, by the time you read this, the weather may well have turned to worms. But as I write, I have just downed a late afternoon cup of tea al fresco, basking in warm sunshine on a neighbour's terrace. This year's summer has been a cracker, with traditional events throughout Hampshire faring well, as the forecast defied the traditional definition of an English summer: two fine days in a thunderstorm. Mind you, we have experienced the mother and father of all lightning displays, coupled with torrential rain, but that was just for one day, and goodness me, the gardens needed it. Raspberries are still coming thick and fast, and our walnut tree is laden. Over the next few weeks, we shall see a substantial crop. I had a large crop coming on the filbert tree that then went on a holiday, only to return to a nutless tree. Squirrels. It might be just me, but I think they know something's up. They appear to be busier than usual, squirreling away their stores for the winter. What do they know? Last year we'd hardly any winter at all. We live in a frost hollow, but even here there wasn't much by way of the penetrating frosts that assassinate pretty much anything they blanket. We had no snow, and haven't had much since we moved in 5 years ago in a foot of the white stuff. What the squirrels could be telling us that we're in for some hard weather. Traditionally, it doesn't come until after Christmas, but who knows, with climate change, it could descend at any time. Meanwhile, people are getting back into gear after the long, hot summer. Just as well, as there were times those trying to scratch a crust in business could have been feeling that all their clients had left the planet. Such was the lack of response to phone calls and emails. But now they're back and things are picking up. In business, as in the weather, things have a habit of balancing themselves out. And overall, 2014 looks like being better than 2013. The nights are drawing in, and in just over 30 days, we will see the clocks go back. Our evenings will be plunged into gloom for 5 months. But come December the 21st, the days will start to lengthen again, imperceptibly at first, but with the passing of Christmas and New Year, it will start to get more noticeable. There will undoubtedly be some poor weather. I predict snow. After we've got through that, we will already have seen snowdrops, those harbingers of spring and renewal. It's the seasons which make England what it is, quite simply, the best place to be. Some far-flung places go straight from winter to summer with a rapid change in temperature. Enjoy autumn, prepare for winter, and look forward to spring and summer.
Now it's the editorial comment read by Albie.
And it's interesting to note, under the heading Hampshire Chronicle, that it's the Hampshire Chronicle's 242nd year. Treating the causes is the only way forward. It was fitting that the Environment Agency chose Winchester to test new flood defence systems. The city centre was one of the worst affected in Hampshire, but thanks to the sterling efforts of the emergency services, not to mention householders at the time, it could have been a lot worse. Lessons were learnt, no doubt, but those householders in the most vulnerable parts of the city will be pleased to know nothing is being left to chance, should the scenes witnessed earlier this year make a return. Last week, the Environment Agency team practiced deploying a 20-metre flood barrier in a training exercise on the bank of the River Itchen, which burst its banks in February. The exercise also trialled a new mobile communications hub, which will improve dialogue between emergency services deployed to fight flooding and pollution. It is to be welcomed that resources are being spent on trying to tackle the results of extreme weather conditions. It was also encouraging to hear the Chinese, the world's highest polluter, pledge at the UN for the first time to take firm action on climate change. Addressing the causes, not just the symptoms, is the only way forward.
Now, Nikki's got Belgarum Diary for us.
Several subjects. MP meets young supporters and shows allegiance. Winchester MP Steve Brine has been meeting new young supporters at the recent Freshers' Fair at the university. The Winchester Student Conservative Society will be busy over the next 8 months in the run-up to the general election on May the 7th, 2015. Sporting a natty Boris Johnson T-shirt, he said, "It was so great to see so many youngsters with an interest in politics wanting to get involved. The student team, led by third-year student Johnny Scowen, were fantastic. They have really built up some momentum over the past few years, and it is such good fun working with them on campus and across the constituency." Does his choice of attire indicate who he may be supporting in any leadership issue? And there's a photograph of all the young Conservatives all beaming into the thing, and Steve Brine in his purple T-shirt with Boris on the front. A lovely photograph of an enormous pine tree. City's Christmas tree is chosen. While some shops have begun selling Christmas cards and festive chocolates, Winchester Business Improvement District has gone one further and bought the tree for the city. The tree was selected from a huge range of others at Burcott Farm with the help of an expert tree surgeon. Business Development Officer Emily Cottrell said, "There were huge trees and tiny trees, fresh young saplings about to see their first festive season, and trees that I could almost imagine were as old as Winchester itself. Winchester has a long-standing reputation as a great Christmas destination, and the tree and decorations are a huge part of this. It won't be long now till the chainsaw comes out and the 35-foot tree is transported into the cobbled streets of our city centre." Next heading, talk of doubling size of Winchester. Many people will have missed the news that a major design prize has been won by a man proposing the doubling of some 40 towns, including Winchester. David Rudlin, an urban designer, won the £250,000 Wolfson Prize for his idea that the national housing crisis could be tackled by extending towns into the Greenbelt. How to double the size of Winchester? Visions of new leafy garden estates marching over downland towards Hursley, Three Maids Hill, Littleton and Compton, from a population of 40,000 to 80,000 over the next 30 years. Hold on a moment. Belgarum spoke to Mr. Rudlin, director of URBED, Urbanism Environmental Design. He said, "We don't have any specific plans for Winchester. We put a map into our essay almost as an afterthought, identifying historic cities, one of which was Winchester. I don't know Winchester well. However, the point we're making is that rather than try to build new towns in the countryside or allow existing settlements to sprawl, we should concentrate growth in well-planned extensions to existing attractive popular towns that already have a range of facilities. Every place is different and has a different set of constraints, so we wouldn't go as far as putting numbers on this, but I'm sure the argument could be applied to Winchester. Watch this space. And another heading, tombs covered ahead of work. No, they aren't sleek, low-rise garden sheds. They are wooden coverings on tombs in the graveyard at Winchester Cathedral. Workmen have been busy in recent weeks protecting the graves in the East End before restoration work starts. They have also been boarding up the steps to ensure that any slips with scaffolding poles or machinery does not cause serious damage. And it is a rather extraordinary photograph with the cathedral in the background and the graves covered in large boxes. And the last heading, famous names to disappear. A famous name from the Hampshire farming history is set to disappear from Winchester. Scatt's Country Stores in Eastern Lane Winnell is about to be rebranded as Mole Valley Farmers. Scatt's stands for Southern Counties Agricultural Trading Society and has had a base in Winchester for many decades. Scatt's was purchased in 2002 by Mole Valley Farmers, a rapidly expanding business originally based on a farming cooperative in Surrey.
And now it's time for What's On. There's a season of church talks. A new season of talks at Winchester Church starts again next week. The Space in the City sessions ask if the virtues of faith, hope, restraint, justice, courage, prudence and love are still worth striving for in the 21st century. There will be seven speakers across the seven talks on Wednesdays from October the 1st until November the 12th, from 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. at the United Church in Jury Street. They are Rachel Boulding, Sister Mered Quigley, Timothy Gorringe, Andrew Bradstock, Sister Frances Dominica, Canon Patrick Woodhouse and Bishop John Dennis. There's no charge, but donations are welcome. For more information, go to spaceinthecity.org.uk. There's a Michaelmas music programme. It's a preview at Hyde 900's Michaelmas Music at St Bartholomew's. An eclectic music programme run by a Winchester community project continues next month. Hyde 900's Michaelmas Music celebrates the musical tradition of Hyde Abbey in the acoustic gem of St Bartholomew's Church. The programme has already seen performances by two rising stars of the National Youth Orchestra, Jenny Whitby on the flute and Max McCulloch on the violin. It takes audiences through the ages from the early music of Vox Human and Index Cantorum right up to date with the guitarist Jad Azcool. Singers from Hyde 900's choir are welcomed back alongside mixed choirs from the University of Winchester. On September the 27th, the church hosts Jad Azcool. On October the 11th, Index Cantorum. And October the 25th, the University of Winchester Foundation Music. On November the 1st, Hyde 900 choir and soloists are brought together, celebrating a huge variety of English repertoire. Soloists include bass Adrian Hutton, soprano Sarah Viersen-Corsa, flautist Sully O'Shaughnessy, and clarinetist Steve Skinner. Hyde 900 Choir will complete the concert with English madrigals and will premiere a folk piece called Tambourine Woman by June Boyce Tillman. The Michaelmas programme ends on November the 22nd with Vox Humana and Gregoriana. All concerts start at 7:30 p.m. Tickets cost £7, £5 for Hyde 900 members, with under-12s free. To reserve tickets, email music@hyde900.org.uk. And there's going to be a tribute to Thomas, John Griffiths at Winchester College. Actor and singer John Griffiths will share his lifelong passion for the poems, plays and prose of Dylan Thomas in Winchester on Sunday, October the 12th. He will perform the work of Swansea's most famous son in Music School Hall, Winchester College, Culver Road, in the centenary of the poet's birth. Billed as a light-hearted evening of poetry, storytelling and songs, the one-man show will raise funds for Winchester and Southampton Visitors Group, a local charity helping refugees and asylum seekers. The actor said, "I grew up in Swansea and fell in love with Dylan Thomas at an early age after seeing Under Milk Wood on the telly for the first time. I've now been doing Under Milk Wood and other works of Dylan Thomas both as a professional actor and teacher for about 40 years. The show will include a couple of short stories by the Welsh poet, which Griffiths described as a well-kept secret, adding, "He was a brilliant storyteller too." I think a lot of people will be surprised by the range of his work and how funny he was. In a career stretching over 35 years on stage and screen, Griffiths has appeared in the West End and toured in major commercial productions in the UK and abroad. For tickets, phone 0750 317 6350 or email admin@swvg-refugees.org.uk. And there's a cathedral date with Joanna Lumley at Winchester Cathedral. A world-renowned actress and human rights activist is coming to Winchester as part of an appeal to restore cathedral windows. Star of Absolutely Fabulous and The Wolf of Wall Street, Joanna Lumley will be in conversation with John Miller in the magnificent nave of Winchester Cathedral in October. The actress was born in Kashmir and spent her early life in Hong Kong and Malaysia. She is considered a national treasure in Nepal for her support of the Gurkha Justice Campaign. Her father served for 30 years with the 6th Gurkha Rifles and was a Chindit in Burma. Alongside designer Thomas Heatherwick, Joanna has been campaigning for the Garden Bridge over the River Thames, which would link the north and south of the capital, featuring gardens and trees. This is just one of many topics anticipated for the October the 21st talk, during which she'll be interviewed by the former artistic director of the Winchester Festival, John Miller. Followed by a drinks reception, the evening will raise money for the Friends of Winchester Cathedral, who hope to save the medieval stained glass windows in the building. An evening with Joanna Lumley at Winchester Cathedral costs £15 a ticket, or £10 for friends. To book, call the box office on 01962 857 275 or go online at winchester-cathedral.org.uk. And there's a picture of the national treasure, Joanna Lumley, with some Gurkhas all dressed up with their ribbons and regalia. And now some more local stuff. At the Theatre Royal Winchester, the Southampton Musical Society will be putting on La Traviata on Tuesday, September the 30th to Wednesday, October the 1st at 7:30 p.m. For more details, the box office number is 01962 840 440. And the Chesil Theatre Winchester is putting on Sleuth from Saturday to Saturday as October the 4th to the 11th. Sleuth is by Anthony Schaffer. And the play starts at 7:40 p.m. except on Sunday, and Saturday, October the 11th, is also an additional performance at 2:30 p.m. For further details, there's a number, 07527 471539, or you can go online to www.chesiltheatre.org.uk. At the Mayflower, Southampton, on October the 5th, up until October the 5th, is Singing in the Rain. Box office number is 02380711811, and the performances start at 7:30 p.m. At the Nuffield Theatre, Southampton, there's Three Men in a Boat, Tuesday, September the 30th to Saturday, October the 4th, 7:30 in the evenings and 3 p.m. matinees Thursday and Saturday. Box office number 02380671771. There's a meeting here on Monday, September the 29th. It's called Singing for Wellbeing at the United Church Hall, Jury Street in Winchester, every Monday, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and 1:30 to 3 p.m. It's for the over 60s, especially those with memory or other long-term health issues. Winchester Live at Home Scheme. For details, 01962 890995, or online www.wlahs.org. And I think that's really... Oh, there's one other thing here which might be interesting. That's on Thursday, October the 2nd, the Royal Marines Association Concert Band in the Winchester Cathedral, 7:30 p.m. Also, the Portsmouth Military Wives Choir. Popular marches, big band sounds, musical theatre, music from films, radio and TV shows and favourites from the classics. Tickets, £25, £18 and £12 from the Cathedral Box Office, 01962 857 275, or go online to www.winchester-cathedral.co.uk. Lighting up time ends on Friday the 26th of September at 6:56 a.m. and begins at 6:57 p.m. On Wednesday the 1st of October, it ends at 7:05 a.m. and begins at 6:43 p.m. If you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have any problems with your memory stick, there is a laminated card inside your wallet to contact Irene Dowding on 01962 870370. Please replace the card inside the wallet when you send the memory stick back. Also, if you have a problem with your Sapphire player, before returning it as faulty, please plug in the mains charger and ensure that the battery is fully charged, as several have been returned as faulty and have simply needed to be charged up. Remember, you don't have to listen to everything at once, and you can skip articles if you wish. Now we continue with items of general news, beginning with Richard.
And here we have a picture of children standing, making the figures 8 and 3 and waving their arms under the heading Pupils Figure in School Celebration. Pupils at Test Valley School have congratulated last year's Year 11 on their impressive GCSE results. They marked the celebration with a fun photo on the school field. This year's results included 83% of all pupils achieving grade A star to C in maths, a new mathematics record for the Stockbridge School. Head teacher Louisa Hiscock said, "Our maths department goes from strength to strength, and we're very proud of the hard work by pupils and staff to achieve these results. Overall, 67% of our pupils achieved 5 or more A star to C grades, including English and maths, with 74% also achieving A star to C in English. This year, there was a considerable rise in our results overall, and I'm delighted to see the evidence coming through on how the teaching and support given to pupils at our school is making the difference."
Inquiry continues into car blaze death. Inquest adjourned as investigation goes on. The exact cause of death of a little boy who died 2 weeks after he was pulled from a burning car will need more investigation, an inquest has heard. The hearing into 5-year-old Tommy Sheldon's death opened this week in Winchester, during which the coroner was told that more investigations were needed to determine exactly what killed him. As previously reported, the youngster became the centre of a murder investigation when he lost his battle for survival, having suffered serious burns in the burning car. Brave passers-by risked their own lives to rescue Tommy, whom they saw trapped in the back of the car in Merdon Castle Lane in Hursley. Alan Busemans and his son, William, leapt into action and managed to release the boy from the Ford Fiesta by forcing open the door of the burning vehicle, while a woman and a young girl stood by the side of the car. Tommy's mother, 37, and his sister, 6, also suffered serious injuries in the incident, which happened on August the 11th. Despite Tommy being transferred from Southampton General Hospital to a specialist burns unit in Bristol, he died on August the 25th. Detectives are conducting a range of inquiries to establish how it started, and all options are being considered, including whether the fire was started deliberately. The children's father is not a suspect in the investigation. Officers have already confirmed the incident was not random and that they are not looking for anyone in connection with the blaze. At the opening of the inquest last Friday, Coroner Graham Short adjourned the hearing to allow for investigations to continue. Anyone with information is asked to call the Hampshire Major Investigation Team, quoting Operation Ursa, on 101. And that article is accompanied by a photograph of the young lad Tommy Sheldon, who was tragically killed in this incident.
Gratitude is put on record. Winchester archivist Jill Rushton retires from her role, Andrew Napier reports. The guardian of Winchester's official records was given a special send-off by the mayor. Jill Rushton, who has been the Winchester archivist for more than 30 years, retired last month. The role was originally created in the late 1970s to care for the City Council's formal records, such as papers and legal documents. It evolved over the years to include a wide range of other deposits from community organisations and institutions across the district, ranging from the Hospital of St Cross to Swanmore Women's Institute and from Winchester Hockey Club to HM Prison. She carried out her duties as part of her wider role as Deputy Head of Hampshire Record Office. The Mayor, Councillor Eileen Berry, made Jill the guest of honour at an afternoon tea for more than 40 invited guests at Abbey House. There were also three current and former county archivists from the Record Office, and each of whom Jill had worked, Caroline Edwards, Jan Smith and Rosemary Dunhill. Stephen Wetnell, Council Chief Operating Officer, said, "Jill absolutely loved her work as the Winchester archivist, and we have always been able to rely on her with complete confidence in all she did." Alongside her curatorial activities, she also led wonderful tours of the Record Office and supported numerous exhibitions and activities featuring the Winchester records. We're sorry to see her leaving, but she will most certainly have left the Winchester collections in exceptional order, and her Record Office colleagues will continue her good work. In her speech of thanks, Jill spoke of the Tutankhamun moments she had experienced, such as finding a treasure trove of records of the St John's Winchester charity holed up behind the wall of a redecorated office. She also mentioned her fondness of the City of Winchester's first charter, granted by King Henry II in the 12th century and held at the Record Office. As a record of the occasion, Jill was presented by the leader of the council, Councillor Rob Humby, with a letter of appreciation signed by the mayor and copies of two prints of Winchester taken from images in the City Art Council's collection. And as a photograph of Jill Rushton in her smart blue dress and jacket, with Councillor Rob Humby and Stephen Wetnell outside the Mayor of Winchester's door.
College fight unprecedented. A Winchester college has defended its security after an assault that left one boy in hospital earlier this month. Police were called to Peter Simmons College just before lunchtime on September the 9th after an argument between two male students at the Cage smoking area. A college spokesman said a third boy, a 17-year-old former student, allegedly joined in and attacked a 16-year-old. A police spokesman said he was later interviewed under caution by police and reported for summons. The college spokeswoman said, "Nothing like this has ever happened before. This was an unfortunate and unprecedented incident. We've got an impeccable security on site, including CCTV cameras and guardians on patrol. They intervened and they stopped the fight. The former student who came in on site was immediately identified and apprehended by the police. No arrests were made and the college said it is dealing with the other attacker internally. The 16-year-old victim, a first-year student, was taken to Royal Hampshire County Hospital with facial injuries."
Purple Flag Award for City. Winchester has been recognised as one of the safest places to go out in the evenings. The city has been awarded Purple Flag status for offering its 5 million annual visitors an entertaining and safe night out for 4 years. Led by the Association of Town Centre Management, the national scheme recognises towns or cities that manage their nighttime experience and overcome negativity. Councillor Rob Humby, leader of Winchester City Council, said, "We have a fantastic city centre offering a whole host of activities and entertainment in the evening. The Purple Flag proves to our residents and visitors just how safe and inviting the city centre is."
Woman donates kidney to fiancé. She has given me the ultimate wedding gift. He stole her heart, and now she has given him her kidney. Lee Atkinson is looking forward to a happier, healthier, and longer married life after his fiancée, Jill Richardson, gave him the ultimate wedding gift, her kidney. The 41-year-old was diagnosed with chronic kidney disease 16 years ago, but was devastated when he discovered last year that his kidney function rate had dropped to just 10%. It meant drastic action, or Lee could face his life expectancy dropping by 10 to 20 years. Doctors gave him a choice, have a transplant or face gruelling and dialysis, which he said would have been a disastrous effect on his career at the Royal Bank of Scotland. The desperate search for a donor quickly began, with Lee's parents stepping forward as potential donors, but after months of testing, they were ruled out. Anxious to help her husband-to-be, Jill, 47, asked to get tested and was thrilled to find that she was a match. Within 3 months, she was going under the knife, a year after the pair got engaged. Jill, who has two daughters, Jenny, 16, and Fiona, 13, said, "He stole my heart, so I gave him my kidney. All I could think about was Lee and if the kidney would work for him. Afterwards, I felt quite useless, but at least I was lucky enough to try to do something by donating my kidney." The Chandlers Ford couple, who have been together for 4 years after meeting through work, are both recovering well and are excited about tying the knot in February next year in the New Forest. But Lee of Woodend Way said he couldn't help but feel guilty that the woman he loved was having surgery just for him. He said, "It was terrible for me, because while Jill was having her operation, I was sitting in a waiting room ahead of mine, thinking that the person I love most in the world is having surgery that she does not actually need." Lee, who has two sons, Robert, 11, and Kieran, 6, added that he would never forget Jill's sacrifice. "I will always be immensely grateful to Jill," he said. "This will enhance the quality and the quantity of my life. She has given me the ultimate wedding gift." And there's a lovely photograph of Lee with his arm around beautiful, smiling, blonde Jill.
Cathedral to mark autumn with jam-packed weekend. Preparations are underway for a Winchester festival set to welcome autumn with a jam-packed weekend. Now a regular annual event, the Hampshire Harvest Festival at Winchester Cathedral spans 2 days over the weekend of October the 4th to 5th, with everything from scarecrow competitions to interviews with ITV news anchor Alastair Stewart. And there's a photograph of Mr. Stewart, I have to say, looking rather harassed at the top of the article. Throughout the weekend, the free event features course horse and carriage rides, falconry and poultry displays, vintage farming machinery, kids' roam farm, vintage fairground organ and Hampshire Farmers Market. There'll also be displays from this year's nominated charity, the Royal Agricultural Benevolent Institution, Hampshire and Isle of Wight Wildlife Trust, the National Farmers Union, Sparshot College, Hampshire Bat Society and Hampshire Honey and Beekeeping Societies, among others. New for this year is a country dance at Hog Roast from 6:30 p.m. on October the 4th, with live music from the Thrupney Bits. The Scarecrow competition will be repeated following its success last year, and on the Saturday, Winchester Morris Men and a brass band will perform along with other street performers. The festival is part of the cathedral's tradition to give thanks, with the cathedral harvest service at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, when the address will take the form of interviews with representatives of Hampshire's agricultural community, led by Alastair Stewart. There's also a Hampshire Fair lunch with the Dean of Winchester at 12:30 in the Cathedral Refectory on the same day. For tickets to the Country Dance in Hog Roast and Hampshire Fair lunch, call the box office on 01962 857 275. And there's also a photograph of the Dean of Winchester, the very Reverend James Atwell, clutching a hen who doesn't look terribly happy about it.
Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. Modern take on a classic panto. Oh, yes, it's that time of year again. Actors in Winchester dusted off their Santa hats and applied their stage makeup when the Theatre Royal officially launched this year's pantomime. In its centenary year, the Jury Street Theatre has opted for a play with the same theme, the tale of the sleeping princess awaiting her Prince Charming. At a packed launch event, Chief Executive Mark Cortis said the panto had become a tradition in the city. I'm ecstatic at how many people tell me that they are looking forward to it already and they want to come and have been since they were man and boy, he said. The theatre boss said he was excited to see a different take on the classic Sleeping Beauty, including a fire-breathing dragon, time travel, flying characters and live music and songs by Simon Slater. The cast includes star of Think No Evil of Us, David Benson, as Nurse Nellie, as well as Catherine Hayworth, Princess Aurora, and Alexandra Morelli, Prince Charming. Estate agents Belgarum, bed specialist Habels, and the Hampshire Chronicle are sponsoring this year's event. And there's a photograph, a very colourful photograph, of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the casts. Prince Charming, Nurse Nellie, Princess Aurora, and three other members of the cast, all looking very happy in fantastic costumes. Brilliant photograph.
A good healthy scoff on a budget. Winchester's Night Shelter celebrated the launch of a new cookbook to help its users eat more healthily on a tight budget. The Good Scoff Cookbook was written by food, nutrition and well-being coordinator Ali Mackay to help the Jury Street Shelter's homeless once they leave the facility. It includes a range of practical and cheap options, working at a budget of £20 per week for anyone with limited cooking experience. Night Shelter manager Michelle Price said, "It was great to see so many people at the launch. We had some lovely food tasting menus with carrot and kidney bean burgers, soups made from local squash, etc. All very nutritional, full of good sources and cheap to produce. We've had people come in who have never cooked a baked potato in their lives and are not sure how to scramble eggs." Night Shelter residents are given a farewell living pack to help them support themselves. It is hoped with the introduction of the new book and the helpful cooking classes, users of the shelter will now be able to eat more nutritionally while on a limited living allowance. And there's a very nice photograph of the Night Shelter guest, Lewis Peckham, author of the book, Alison Mackay, and Night Shelter chairman, Paul Montgomery, showing off some of the recipes from the new book, and all looking very happy and looking forward to eating this hopefully delicious food.
Prisoner in rooftop protest. A prisoner staged a rooftop protest at Winchester Prison last week. Emergency services, including police, fire and ambulance, were called to the Category B prison on Wednesday at about 3:30 p.m. A prison service spokesman later confirmed that the incident had been resolved by 8:30 p.m, but refused to provide any more details. The Ministry of Justice declined to comment.
Margaret says goodbye. A lollipop lady who was awarded an MBE for services to her local community hath hung up her fluorescent jacket for the last time. Margaret Cole, who has lived near Stanmore Primary School since she first began seeing pupils safely across the road in 1970, waved the children goodbye. The 84-year-old said that she took on the job when a local police officer visited her in person to ask her if she would do it. Speaking of her visit to Buckingham Palace in 1999 to receive her award, she said her daughter was so proud she cried. "I thoroughly enjoyed my 40 years. I had a lovely tea party and we had the most beautiful cake." She added, "I had 1.5 hours training when I started, that's all. But now my eyesight is beginning to wane, and it's a shame, really, because that's the only reason I'm retiring." Mrs. Cole of Green Jacket Close, Stanmore, said she'll miss seeing the children every day and getting her daily exercise. "I'll miss just walking up and down Stanmore Lane and seeing my little darlings," she said. "They've been fantastic. And the little ones in pushchairs always tried to hold my hand. I've absolutely enjoyed it." The school's head teacher, Justin Brooks, said, "The whole school community has really appreciated Mrs. Cole taking care of so many children over the years. We will all really miss her, and we wish her a long and happy retirement. County Council is looking for a replacement. There are two photographs, and the first photograph shows Margaret with Stanmore Primary School pupils. There she is with the 11 pupils in the grounds of the school, looking very happy, as long with the children who are all smiling away. One exception. And the second photograph shows Margaret with Justin Brooks, the school's head teacher, in front of the table containing the cake that she so enjoyed. And the lovely photograph of Margaret there, looking very, very fine in her waistcoat, white waistcoat, and a splendid looking cake there too.
Celebrating King Henry V's visit. More than 1,000 people are expected to attend a major celebration in the ruins of Bishop's Waltham Palace next year, marking 600 years since King Henry V stayed in the town on his way to the Battle of Agincourt. They're expected to attend Road to Agincourt 1415 between Friday, July the 24th and Sunday, July the 26th next year, spanning the palace's grounds, museum and church. Bishop's Waltham town team are considering attractions, including medieval food, drink and music, role-playing, reenactments, theatre and a conspiracy mystery. It is hoped that the celebration, which is still in its early stages of planning, will encourage more use of the grounds for community events. The non-profit event will cost around £16,000, but some of this might be recuperated through ticket sales.
And yet another reference here to Winchester Theatre Royal, which is doing rather well this week. Going back in time to celebrate birthday. Winchester Theatre Royal is celebrating its centenary with a recreation of an event held when its first doors opened. The first event at the Jury Street Theatre in 1914 was an evening of variety and film, which will be recreated in modern fashion at this Sunday Centenary Gala, September the 28th. The free event celebrates the history of the theatre with live performers, music, comedy, magic and surprises. A series of short films created by local school children will be shown throughout the evening, including interviews with those who have performed, worked and visited the theatre over the past 100 years. The schools taking part are St Bede, St Faith's, Kingsworthy, Winnell and John Keble Primary Schools, Osborne Special School and Henry Beaufort, the Westgate and the Clear Secondary Schools. A book detailing the history of the theatre will be available on the evening, which starts at 7:30 p.m. For more information and to book tickets, call the box office on 01962 840 440.
Information needed on antiques theft. A police appeal has been launched following the theft of antiques and china from a Bishop's Waltham home. Burglars forced entry into the house in Ashton Lane on Wednesday, September the 3rd, at around 3:45 a.m. Police Constable Jasmine Colony of Winchester Police Station said, "We would like to hear from anyone who saw anything suspicious in the area at the time of the incident, or possibly days leading up to it. Anyone with information is asked to contact PC Connolly by calling 101 or leave information anonymously with Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. That's 0800 555 111.
And another drama. Safe stolen from farm shop. A Kingsworthy farm shop said it has received support from residents after a burglary last week. The front door was smashed and a safe ripped from the floor and stolen at the Good Life Farm Shop and Cafe in Headbornworthy. It happened between 8:20 p.m. last Thursday and 7:23 a.m. on Friday. It is believed a trolley was used to move the safe into the car park. The Springvale Road store was closed on the Friday morning. It is a wonderful shop, actually. I really recommend it. Probably shouldn't. Anyone with information should call police on 101, quoting crime reference 441 403 39077. 441 403 39077.
New Flood Command Centre trialled to improve response. Flood fighting specialists returned to Winchester last Friday to trial a new command centre and hone their emergency response times. An Environment Agency team practiced deploying a 20-metre flood barrier in a training exercise on the banks of the River Itchen, which burst its banks in February. The steel and aluminium barriers were originally erected in Park Avenue, stopping water from flowing through the city centre. The exercise also trialled a new mobile communications hub, which will improve dialogue between emergency services deployed to fight flooding and pollution. The Incident Command Vehicle is equipped with satellite phones, laptops, radio and secure internet access to connect emergency response teams when extreme weather threatens communication lines. A webcam on the top of the truck will feed live video of flood sites to command centres and other emergency services and could in future be broadcast to the public. But the truck covers the entire south of England and would only serve Winchester if it was the area in most danger. Mike O'Neill, Environment Manager, said, "It's good to come out and practice with this in a big space. We could try things out. It gives us more opportunities to give information back quicker so we can make quicker decisions and a more coordinated response." Winchester MP Steve Brine, who observed the exercise in North Walls, said, "We did so much right in Winchester with the floods, but there was a huge demand for information from the public. This communications hub will help with that. It's a positive lesson learnt from what was a very difficult situation earlier this year. Practicing with this vehicle will help us do even better if the worst happens again. But I hope we don't ever have to see it. And we have photographs of various men wearing high visibility jackets and the response van itself with a large dish on the top of it."
Green light for pub works. Plans to refurbish part of a Winchester pub have been approved by civic chiefs despite objections from nearby residents. Green King had submitted plans to demolish and rebuild a new boiler house at the Mucky Duck in Hyde Street, with the addition of a new garden bar. But residents said the redevelopment would result in patrons staying in the beer garden for longer, something they say already contributes a lot of noise. City Council case officer Simon Avery said, "The single storey will in fact reduce the outside area. There's no reason why this planning application would increase any noise or disturbance." But residents remained unconvinced. Helen Bliau, who lives behind the pub, said, "Officers do not feel there would be a noise issue. Residents do. Other pubs in the area observe any curfews. This pub seems not to have any neighbourly concerns." Councillor Dominic Hiscock said, "It's a pretty place, and that part needs refurbishment and would be greatly improved with this. My concerns are there will be more people staying out there, and I think that will create more disturbance. It's very nicely managed, and most residents are very fond of it, but there is a problem." Councillors said, while they were sympathetic, they argued many of the objections were licensing queries.
Sports campaign gaining momentum. Fundraisers lined up for a new leisure centre. A campaign group that wants new sports facilities to promote an Olympic legacy in Winchester has announced four fundraisers. Fit for the Future has spent more than 2 years developing a proposal for a new sports centre at Bar End, next to the existing athletics track. The group launched its 2012 Hours campaign on July the 27th at midnight, on the second anniversary of the London 2012 Olympic ceremony. It finishes at 8 p.m. on October the 19th, 83 days and 20 hours later. Emma Back, campaign coordinator, said, "Winchester loves sport and we're determined to secure its future here. The facilities we build now will serve this area for the next 50 years or more, so we've got to get it right." The first fundraiser is a two-hour dance-a-thon at King's School in Romsey Road this Sunday, September 28th. followed by a golf day at South Winchester Golf Club on October the 3rd. On Sunday, October the 12th, the group is hosting a static bike challenge in St. Maurice's Covert in Winchester High Street, where sponsored riders will compete 2,012 seconds on a bike to contribute to community mileage. The events and campaign culminate in a community ball at Norton Park Hotel on Sunday, October the 19th, including a speech from Winchester-based GB marathon runner Louise Damon and acrobatics by Treasure Gymnasts. The new centre would include a 50-metre pool, a large sports hall, a gymnastics and trampolining facility, climbing wall, indoor running strips and jump area for athletics, and spectator seating for the existing track, and would mean abandoning River Park.
Worries over plans for new hospital. Maternity services under spotlight at meeting. Mothers-to-be fear they could be left without vital care if plans to move some maternity services out of Winchester go ahead, a meeting heard. Hampshire Hospitals Foundation Trust plans to build a new hospital for the sickest patients between Winchester and Basingstoke, including stroke and heart attack victims. Worried mums said they feared travelling to a hospital further away could cause complications. The Ask the NHS meeting, chaired by Winchester MP Steve Bryan, heard from senior medical staff at the Trust who said the new hospital would improve services for women across the region. Chief Executive Mary Edwards said the Winchester and Basingstoke maternity wards would be midwife-led for low-risk pregnancies and would not have inpatient facilities for expectant mums. Caesareans, epidurals, post-birth operations and intensive care would be located at the new £120 million centre, which will have its own low-risk unit. She said, "We don't have 24/7 consultants today, and that's what we want to offer. This is about delivering and improving services in general hospitals." Dr. Michael Hurd, obstetrician, said, "The vast majority of what we do will remain local and be improved locally. All antenatal care will be provided as near to the patients as possible." But some parents were worried about travelling from one hospital to another if a low-risk birth suddenly became high-risk. Health chiefs have not yet chosen a site for the centre, but say it could be at North Hampshire Hospital in Basingstoke or the Green Triangle, somewhere between the M3, the A303 and the A34. However, some of the audience remained unconvinced, and mother-to-be said this could become a glorified home birth unit. "I think Winchester will be less well used," she said. The plans are yet to be formally decided and the public consultation will start later this year.
Thousands enjoy first taste of Wickham at festival. More than 4,000 people flock to Wickham to enjoy local produce, cookery demonstrations and live music. Attendance at the inaugural Taste of Wickham Festival was more than double what organisers expected, with one saying the demonstrations were absolutely packed out all day. The festival, organised by local businesses and aided by more than 40 volunteers, also featured market stalls, live dance and a range of food tastings from local chefs. Children were treated to a bouncy castle, play bus, animal petting and craft activities in the village's medieval square. Heidi Iser, the council's market towns officer, said, "The festival was a celebration of everything that makes Wickham special. Wickham has got all sorts to it," she said. "There's lots of different things you can enjoy. The community there is really strong, and there are great links between the businesses." All of the demonstrations were absolutely packed out. Organisers will meet this week to discuss feedback from visitors and residents with a view to bringing the event back next year.
New city surgery a step closer. Designs for new doctor surgery in Winchester are in the next stages after City Council approval. Under the £150 million Silver Hill scheme, the St Clement surgery is poised to move to the corner of Friarsgate and Upper Brook Street. At a cabinet meeting, the next stage of design work was approved. Its current location in Tanner Street is in the heart of the Silver Hill redevelopment. The new surgery will be built on the site of the 52-space public car park in Upper Brook Street. It will have more than 20 consulting rooms with 25 parking spaces 3 disabled spaces for the public and 22 for the staff. Lloyd's Pharmacy will also be relocated from the Broadway to the new site.
Student bus stop as bus drives on. A teenager was left in tears on her first day of college after a bus driver ignored a group of students in Swanmore. Katie Blake, 16, was one of 5 students waiting for the 7:20 a.m. bus from New Road to Peter Sewens College. Excuse me. The group stood up and walked towards the slowing bus, but the driver accelerated and drove on, according to the students, leaving them with no choice of making it to the college before 9 a.m. 2 parents had to cancel plans and make 32-mile round trips to ensure their children were on time. Katie's mother said that Stagecoach, which charges £630 for an annual ticket, had refused to refund the equivalent of a return ticket or reimburse her fuel costs. "I don't quite understand why Stagecoach can charge such an amount and give poor service," she said. Martin Gibbons, operations manager of Stagecoach, said the incident was regrettable, but added passengers need to gesture directly to bus drivers. "There was no attempt made by the complainant's daughter to hail the bus service in question," he added.
Concludes the extracts for this week. Thank you to our editors, Bill Argles and Jean Gardner. Thanks to our copying, dispatch and memory stick preparation teams. And thanks to our readers, Nikki Baring.
Goodbye.
Richard Martin.
Goodbye.
And Albie Minns.
Bye.
And from me, Roy Faithfull, it's goodbye for now. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the week ahead. Please post your memory sticks back in the yellow wallet together with a laminated card when you've finished listening. Thank you and goodbye again.